I'd like to extend a thank you to everybody for you coming out and being here today to honor Mary, but also to support the family and friends at this hour in their lives. And I'd like to give a special thanks. It's been really neat to watch the way that all the workers have rallied around Christina to give her the support and the comfort that she needs. And you guys have done an outstanding job, and I wanted to make mention of that and tell you how much we appreciate what you guys are doing. It's never easy for those that are left behind to deal with the death of a loved one. And even more difficult it is when it's as unpredictable and unexpected as this particular death. It came from nowhere. Nobody expected this to happen. It's as tragic as any passing that a person could imagine. Yet we do know that God's Word speaks to us about even times like this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." And, you know, there's one thing that I am absolutely convinced of, and I know there are some here today that would give a big hearty amen to what I'm about to say, but God is ever able and He's ever willing to help us. No matter what position we find ourselves in life. As difficult as this is and as hard as it can be to understand everything that has happened, God makes it very clear. In fact, He says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired and weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men may stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." I just want to remind everybody of that when we're weak, God is able to come and make us strong. When we are sad, God is able to come and turn our mourning into dancing. He can replace sorrow with joy. That's what God is there for. And God only requires that we would ask and that we would reach out to Him, and then He'll come and He'll rescue us. Just as the staff and all the workers have been helping to strengthen and comfort, God can do even better. As great of a job as these women and these different guys have done, I can assure you God can do even better. And that being said, would you join me as we pray? Father, we thank You so much for Your faithfulness. And we thank You, God, that no matter what happens in this life, that You are constant. You are always there. You're never going to leave us. You're never going to forsake us. And Father, Your comfort is real. Your peace is real. And we are thankful, God, that in these hours in our lives, we can turn to You and we can draw from You the strength that we need and the hope that we need to get us through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Take the rain on the roof of this empty house, that don't bother me. I can take a few tears now and then and just let them out. I'm not afraid to cry every once in a while, even though going on with you gone still upsets me. There are days every now and again I pretend I'm okay, but that's not what gets me. Been so close and having so much to say and watching you walk away and never knowing
just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity for some time of sharing, and Lisa's going to come, and she's going to share at that time. If there's anybody else that would want to share anything, now would be an appropriate time to be thinking about that. We do want to keep it brief, so if you're going to come up to share, I'd ask that you keep it, 3 to 4 minutes max, but we do want you to have the opportunity to do so if you'd like. I'm going to read the obituary. Mary Ann Davis, 44 of Ottumwa, died June 13th, 2016 in Los Angeles, California, as a result of a fire, along with her husband Jerry and her son Joseph. She was born October 17th, 1971 in Ottumwa to Emmett and Nancy Lee Witch Davis. She married Larry Williams and he preceded her in death. She married Jerry Clemens and he has died. Mary was a 1990 graduate of Ottumwa High School. She attended First Pentecostal Assembly of God. Mary enjoyed spending time with her children and grandchildren. And I would just add that Mary just liked being around kids. That was one of the first things that she said when she was actively getting involved in our church is, I really like kids. And that's probably why her and Jerry were so well for each other, because Jerry was just a big kid. And she was able to take care of him. She was preceded in death by her parents and an uncle, Larry Wick. Her body, of course, has been cremated, and we will be going to Shaw Cemetery following the memorial service, and you're all welcome to join us there if you'd like. And the memorials are being made to the family, and they will designate that at a later time and what that's going to be used for. Lisa, I'm going to go ahead and invite you to come at this time. And again, when Lisa gets done, if somebody else would like to share, just go ahead and come right on up and do so, okay?
Christine and I had talked for days and days on what she would like to say. And we kind of put some words together, and this is what she's got. First and foremost, Christina wanted to let everyone know how proud of her the way that she cared for others, whether it be children, whether it be adults, whether it be Christina and her family. The poem is called A Daughter's Promise. Every time I smile, every time I sigh, I think of your face and a tear escapes my eye. You were my world, my inspiration, and my heart. But when you left me, I thought I'd fall apart. You were my best friend, my one true confidant. But most important of all, you were also my mom. I don't want to live without you, but you would have wanted me to. And if there's anyone I want to make happy, it was always you. I would give anything to have you back, but now I know it was meant to be, for you are still watching me from heaven, and I know you're still here with me.
I am Mary's brother, Henry. We were separated for 37 years. Four months ago, I got to meet her. My body and Christina and my brother and my other sister now. But me and Mary had some fun times together, talking on the phone. I was on the dark side of life. I switched my life around. And every day she would tell me she's proud of me 3 or 4 times a day. I'm like, I want you to know, Christina, I love you.
going to wait for just a moment longer in case, you know what, you look a lot like Mary. I'm going to share briefly myself. Appreciate you coming up and sharing too, brother. And I just want to say, and I know that some people could almost wonder, how can the preacher be so smiling and happy, you know, after something so rough has happened? But I want you to know that there are times in life when it looks like the enemy has won. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Then the saying that is written shall come to pass. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting?" And you know, as difficult as it is and as sad as it can be in a time like this, there is absolutely no doubt that Mary has won. Jerry as well. And reason being is because they knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I just want to remind everybody that today. You know, really, when you're a Christian, when you have Jesus in your heart, this is the worst that it's ever going to get right here. But when you don't have Jesus in your heart, this is about the best it's ever going to get. And what a wonderful, comforting thought it is to know that death has no hold on people who know Jesus at all. And we need to remind ourselves of that, okay? Let's just, as they say, let's keep it real, okay? As sad as this is and as real as the sorrow is, we have to remind ourselves that that there still is good in this. And the good is that God he has honored his promise. To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. And that does make it easier. It makes it much easier on all of us to know. As Mary's pastor, I can confidently say that I know that Mary and Jerry both knew the Lord. You know, I can remember when Mary and Jerry first... In fact, I can't talk about Mary without talking about Jerry. But it was so interesting because when Jerry and Mary first started to come to church, Tyrone, you were with them way back then. And it was, you couldn't talk about Mary and Jerry without talking about Mary, Jerry, and Tyrone. Because they were the three stooges. And man, were they ornery. And they started to come to our Wednesday, or part at that time it was on Wednesday night. It's Thursday night now, but our Once Lost, Now Found ministry, they started to attend on Wednesday nights. And it wasn't long before they were pretty involved in the church and coming to nearly every service that we had. And I can remember Mary telling me, at that time we would have people, families, and different individuals get up and sing special songs during the service. And I can remember Jerry kept telling me, "Pastor, I play the harmonica." And I'm like, "Okay, Jerry, whatever." And he's, "No, I really enjoy playing the harmonica." And one Sunday night, I was just asking Mark, everybody turn around and look at the guy back there in the sound booth. He's the guy that makes it all happen. But him and his family were doing a song for the church one Sunday evening, and kind of one of them old Southern gospel songs that you could almost hear a harmonica playing in the background. And Jerry was sitting over there, and I wasn't even the pastor at the time, but he turned around and he said to me, "Richard, I really want to play my harmonica. And, you know, Jerry was pretty bashful, really. He was a pretty shy kind of guy. And so I seen no harm in it. I thought he'd just sit there in his pew and, quiet, you know, get his harmonica out and play. And so I said, "Well, go ahead and play. It's not going to bother nobody." And he got up and marched right up on the platform and took a microphone and started to play with them. And, you know, he was really good. He really did a good job. It was a blast, really, to watch Jerry kind of come out of his shell. Mary and Jerry both had a heart for people. In fact, I look around and I see most of your faces are faces that I know from different places, soup kitchen and different places where Mary and Jerry would gather. And even a big handful of you guys, they brought to this church. I'm seeing most of the people up here in this front row came to this church because Mary and Jerry brought you here. And very grateful for that. They were soul winners and in their own special way. You know, they decided that they wanted to help in the church. And Jerry told me one Sunday, "Pastor, you know, I really like to drive. I think I'd like to drive." At that time, we had about 100 to 150 teenagers come into our youth ministry. And so Jerry thought he wanted to drive the kids. And so they started to drive the kids around. He about lost his mind a few times. But he stuck with it. And honestly, Jerry was one of the best van drivers we've ever had. He was faithful. He always showed up. I mean, it didn't matter what was going on. Jerry would come an hour early, and he would stay an hour late, dropping people off, never complained. It's nice to have quiet people like Jerry serving in a church because they really make a difference. And I know sometimes it's easy to overlook people who are quiet and shy. But I know today's not Jerry's funeral, but you know, they, as I said, I can't talk about one without the other. And of course, Mary was his co-captain. Now, Mary, on the other hand, did not have a problem talking. Whereas Jerry was real quiet, Mary sometimes needed to practice being quiet. And but they were a great couple. It was great to see them together. You know, Mary had many tough times in her life, as everybody here would know. Life wasn't always a joy for her. She had a lot to overcome in life. A lot of stuff from her past that she brought with her when she came to Christ. And she wasn't perfect. And I'm so thankful that God doesn't require perfection, because nobody in this room would be able to make it. But all that God requires is us to put our faith in Him and the finished work of the cross, and then allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in our life that we could never do ourselves. And I will say this, Mary knew how to do that. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that she gave Jesus an opportunity. We're going to have another song play at this time. So,
why did she have to go so young? I just don't know why things happen half the time, without reason, without rhyme. Lovely, sweet young woman, daughter, wife, and mother, makes no sense to me. I just have to believe she flew up to heaven on the wings of angels, by the clouds and stars and paths where no one sees. And she walks with Jesus and her loved ones waiting, and I know she's smiling, saying, don't worry about me. Loved ones she left behind, just trying to survive and understand the why, feeling so lost inside. Anger shot straight at God, then asking for His love, empty with disbelief, just hoping that maybe she flew up to heaven on the wings of angels, by the clouds and stars and paths where no one sees. And she walks with Jesus and her loved ones waiting, and I know she's smiling, saying, don't worry about me. It's hard to say goodbye, her picture in my mind will always be of times I'll cherish. I won't cry, 'cause she flew up to heaven on the wings of angels, by the clouds and stars and paths where no one sees. And she walks with Jesus and her loved ones waiting, and I know she's smiling, saying, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me.
To share a message this morning, actually this afternoon, you know, there's three things that we always like to make sure we accomplish at a funeral. And that is, number one, to honor the person who has passed. And that's why we share the stories that we share. The other aspect of that is that as we begin to focus and remember the good times that we've had with people that we love that have passed, it really does start the healing process, and it allows us to move forward. And that's why that is important. And I would encourage you guys to continue to do that with each other. You know, and some of you may just need to talk with your staff about it, or your workers. Just talk with them and be mindful of those things. And then, of course, if there's anything we can do as a church, and I offer this to every person in here, if there's anything we can do, let us know. We're here to serve you and to help you. The second thing that we like to do is give a word of comfort and to the family and to the loved ones and the people that remain. And then, of course, lastly, is to present the hope of the gospel. And I'd like to share a message today from John chapter 14 is where I'm going to read here in just a moment. But as I said before, you know, I just want to express sympathy to everybody. And I can't explain why tragedy happens the way that it does and why the things that have brought us to today occurred. I really have no idea the reasons why. And I know a lot of times when we experience the kind of things that everybody has experienced in this event, people want to know the answers. Why did this happen? Why did God let this happen? And it almost becomes a hindrance, really, to us finding the relief that we need. And so I'd like to share some verses with you, hopefully, that can make sense to you and maybe a different perspective on how we should look at things. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, the Bible says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And you know, when we find ourselves in situations in life that we can't handle, that's why we have God. The reason that God exists is because He's greater than we are, and He offers us what we need. And every person needs God in their life, but on times like this, we really find how much we need God. We're really reminded just how much we need God. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that you may be where I am also. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas, one of his disciples, said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me." Now, those words are read a lot in funerals and because of the promise of heaven. I like to read them at every funeral service that I do because as a pastor, our calling is a little bit different than most because what happens as a pastor is many times much of our ministry is spent helping people get through their feelings and make it through the hurts that people experience along the way. And it seems to be that when somebody dies, our mind naturally, we all seem to be the same. And Jesus was really in this passage of scripture that I read, he was really preaching his own funeral sermon, and he knew he just came from the Mount of Transfiguration just a few weeks prior to this. He had just spent a night in prayer. He knew that the end of his life was was coming, was fastly approaching. And he knew that when he died, that his disciples would be left, and they would be trying to figure out what to do. And he also knew that his disciples would fail miserably, much like we all fail miserably, and that they may very well even blame themselves for his death. And you know, it's strange that tends to be what happens when somebody dies. For some reason, it's almost as though the enemy has perfected the art of convincing people that we had something to do with it, or convincing us that we should have been better, or convincing us that we should have taken the time to show more love and all those things that people deal with. Jesus knew that his disciples would be going through that, and the key thing that he wanted them to hear from him was, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." And you know, I really think that's just important for us to remind ourselves, is it's so easy when something like this happens, and especially when it happens so suddenly. That being said, I would just encourage everybody, you know, when we live life, we shouldn't put off till tomorrow the things that could be done today in our relationships with people. If you need to ask somebody to forgive you for something that you've done, then you need to be prompt and do that. if you've upset somebody and you need to apologize to them, then you need to be prompt and do those things. And then, of course, we always need to tell the people that we love that we love them. Yet when somebody dies, it's almost inevitable that the enemy is going to try to convince us that you should have been there more for them. You should have told them that you loved them more. You should have done this. You should have done that. Jesus knew the disciples would be going through that, and so he simply told them, don't let your hearts be troubled. And that's what I want to encourage everybody in today. There's so many things that a person can get their mind wrapped up in after somebody has died. And much of what people spend their time thinking about is just stuff that's going to trouble your hearts. And we need to control what takes real estate up in our mind. We need to control what occupies our thoughts, because those things will either trouble us or they'll bless us. And like I said earlier, part of the reason why we share memories and laugh. And I'm thankful that I can remember that Sunday night service when Jerry got up and played his harmonica, because there's a lot of other things that I could think about if I allowed myself to that would trouble my heart. But it's much better to focus on the right things and to make sure that our mind is stayed where it needs to stay. I'm going to read you a verse here from Philippians chapter 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, and I really love these words. These are probably some of the verses of the Bible that we need to remind ourselves about the most is probably these verses right here. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me, everything that you heard from me and saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you. And I just want to challenge everybody today to make sure that the thoughts that fill your mind are thoughts that would honor God and thoughts that would promote peace and joy in your heart rather than sorrow and sadness. We have one more song that's going to play.
All your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction. Easier to believe in. sadness that brings me to my knees in the arms of the angel. Fly away from here, from this dark cold hotel room and the endlessness that you fear. You are pulled from the wreckage of your soul.
If you'd do me a favor and just bow your heads and close your eyes. You know, I don't know that there's ever been a more accurate time to say what I'm about to say than now. You know, the truth of the matter is, we don't know the day or the hour in which we're going to leave this life. Boy, I'll tell you, this is one of those instances where you can look and you can say, who would have ever thought that that Mary and Jerry's life would have ended when it did and how it did. But yet there's an assurance that we all can have. And that assurance is only found in Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That none of us are righteous in and of ourselves, but that Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, came and died in our place on a cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins and that we could have relationship with God. And when we have a relationship with God, it doesn't matter what takes place in this life, because we'll be connected with God for eternal life. That's what matters. You know, sometimes we put off making that decision to follow God and to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. But if there was one thing to be learned from this whole situation, it would be that we shouldn't be putting certain things off, and putting off God is something none of us should do. And if you're here today, and if you're not right with God, if you've not committed your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to consider what we're talking about today. It's easy to put it off and to say, well, I'll get to that someday. But the reality is, someday may never come for some people. You need to choose today whom you're going to serve. And I want you to think about that and consider that. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Getting saved is not about joining a church. It's about understanding that you're not perfect, but Jesus is. And that he died and paid the penalty for your sins. You were guilty. He was not. He chose to become guilty so that you could be set free. That's what Jesus did. God simply asks that you would accept that gift and then follow the ways that he has prescribed through his word, that we would begin to live life that way. And that's how it works. And then, of course, you get connected to a good church, you grow and mature, and life gets better. And that's my promise to you, life will get better. And so consider those things today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, anything like that. I just ask that before you go to bed tonight, you'd spend some time thinking about your own life and your own soul. And if you need to be forgiven of your sins, then simply ask God to forgive you. That's how it works. Would you stand up on your feet, please? I'm going to close out in prayer, and then we're going to dismiss. So, gracious Father, we thank you so much for the plan that you have to save us, that you sent your Son to die for us. And Father, in that, we have all that we need. And so today, God, we just turn our eyes to you. We thank you for Mary. We thank you for her life. We thank you for her faith, God, the testimony of Jesus and what Jesus did in her life. And God, I pray that that would strengthen us and also cause us to consider what you could do in all of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.